Hey, Potters. Welcome to Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. This is episode 293.
Oh, you did that out of order.
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'll redo it if you want me to redo it.
No, it's fine. Just means something I have to edit next time. And I really won't recognize it until December rolls around. And then I go, oh, she did it out of order.
This is what happens when we have tech problems, and I haven't done this in a while, and my brain just goes autopilot.
Yes, chaos. It's just nothing but chaos. It's perfect for us.
It is mass chaos today.
Woo!
Well, welcome, Potters. We are here to talk about cosplay, not about technology fail. And so we will talk about cosplay and all things costuming.
Yay. That's Amber. I'm Valerie, by the way.
Yes, if this is your first time listening, they're not all like this.
No.
But welcome anyway.
But they can be very random and chaotic at times.
They can be, but we are also kind of that wacky, zany duo, generally speaking. Not just when it comes to broadcasting, but also in real life, if you ever get a chance to see us in real life. So there's that as well.
There's that.
Yes. As I am pulling up on my computer the fun list, because speaking of cosplay, I don't know if you all had a chance to see it, but there was a cosplay bundle on Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
That just ran for the last 2 weeks ish. I think it was almost
now.
3 weeks. It is. And so hopefully you all had a chance to see it and purchase it if you were interested. Because I don't have any physical cosplay updates for this week due to reasons, but I did go ahead and I purchased that cosplay bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually when you get bundles from Humble Bundle, they'll have books from previous bundles. So you'll get like half old ones and you get half new ones. And sometimes it's worth it, sometimes not, depending on what the new ones are. This one, this time around, was insane. It was amazing. Yes, it had some old books. And I don't mean to imply that old is bad, just that they've been in previous bundles. So I already had copies of them. But they had so many new books this time around. I was so happy. And there were a bunch of new patterns in there. I know that the last one had a bunch of Kamui patterns.
Mm-hmm.
This one actually includes additional patterns from other cosplayers for things like ears, tails, corsets, horns and headdresses. And it's like, oh, I can so use all of these things. And I've noticed that there are a lot more people putting out books also about foam smithing,
mm-hmm.
For which, you know, Punish Props and Evil Ted are kind of the big names in foam smithing. But now a lot more people are getting into it, which is great because I appreciate different perspectives on how to do things. It's really good to know different ways of working with foam because sometimes one way just won't work for you.
Right.
So if I try and do it like Evil Ted's way and that doesn't work for me, then I may get discouraged and just throw it off to the side and ignore it. But then somebody else will come along and show me a different way of doing it. And it's like, oh, that makes so much more sense. And then it's like, ding, the light bulb goes off. And then it's so much better for you. It's less frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Not knocking on Evil Ted. I love his tutorials and I loved being able to see him in person at AllCon when he came. But that's why I like getting these bundles is just so that I can see different ways of doing these different techniques, especially with things I'm not good at, like makeup and wigs,
mm-hmm.
which I am horrible at. But when I see other people do it and show me step by step, it looks a lot easier, I think, than it is because they teach you the science of it. You have to learn the art part of it.
Right.
Which is the part I'm really not good at. But I did want to give a shout out because Maker Fishmeal's book was in the bundle.
Yeah.
Yay!
I think it's probably part of the publisher pack. So I was like, good.
Yes.
Good call.
Yes. If you haven't had a chance to see our interview with them, go ahead and go into our YouTube archives. We did an amazingly fun interview with them. And if you haven't had a chance to look at their book yet, I believe it is on sale now through Pact, obviously, but I believe also through their website. So have a look for that. It is well worth your money.
Oh,
seriously.
Absolutely.
So I was very, very happy for them as soon as I saw that in the book. I was like, yay, more people get to see this.
It's all about glue, Amber's favorite thing.
Adhesives are definitely up there in terms of my favorite things about cosplay, at least working with them. But also because every time I go on different like Reddits or forum posts or blog posts, there are always perpetually people who are asking, how do I attach A to B? Whatever A to B is. It could
common
be like fabric. It could
for
be
everything. Yeah,
it's such a common question everybody asks. And it's like, well, you can Google for it, but then you may or may not find it for your two specific things if no one's blogged about it. Or you'll get a bunch of different answers because people will speak anecdotally. They'll be like, oh, this worked for me. Or no, this didn't work for me at all, but this did. And so it's nice just to have that compendium reference where it's like, these things work and here's how you make them work. And there's a giant reference table that you can make copies of. Please don't tear it out of the book. I don't like tearing things out of books. I'm a book person. You can make a copy of it and hang it up. You can even frame it if you want to in your cosplay work area, because you will consult it. You will use it over and over and over again if you work with props. I promise you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'll forget, like, how do I attach resin gems to silk? And it's like, yeah, I did that 8 years ago, but I forgot what I used. And so it's always nice to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you're working with nicer materials, or if you only have a limited number of whatever it is you're working with, so if you only have like 3 resin gems, so you get 3 shots and that's it. If you mess up, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you got. So it's nice to kind of know in advance what I'm supposed to do instead of having to experiment, as much as I like experimentation.
Right.
With cosplay. But yeah, that was pretty much my thing, as I've started just kind of browsing through the books and seeing what piques my interest, because I think the next thing that I'm going to teach myself is soldering for jewelry.
Oh, okay.
I found some really nice patterns online that people are making with between 12 and 16 gauge wire for crowns and coronets and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went to Ren Faire unexpectedly. I was asked to go with somebody because I hadn't planned on going. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, I was so tired and sore that I basically just took all of my costume off and I just chucked it in my car and in my little carry bag that I had with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the circlet that I had made out of foam cracked.
Okay.
And I had spent a lot of time, because it was one of those where I have to cut it with manicure scissors because it's so tiny.
Right.
And filigreed. And I'm kicking myself. It's like, I shouldn't have thrown it in the bag. I should have known it was going to crack when I did that. So now I want to try and redo it out of nicer, maybe not nicer material, but at least with a nicer technique.
Sure.
And to do that, I have to be able to solder. And I have a soldering iron. I have soldering tin. And I have a mat so that I can safely solder on things and not light them on fire.
Yes.
Because Amber is known for that. I just have to sit down and practice doing it, because soldering wire for jewelry is different than soldering electronics.
Right.
So we shall see. At least as a silver lining, the circlet snapped after I had finished wearing it.
There
so at least
go.
It looked nice for the day.
For the day, yeah.
And it lasted for what it had to last for.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'm sad that it cracked afterward.
You know, we all do that thing at the end of the day where we're just tired and we just want to get out of the costume and get back home, and we don't care.
That was pretty much it.
I just
wanted to get out of the costume so much. It was already very humid that day. I was in multiple layers with velveteen that was all fully lined. It's just like, I'm roast. And that was the coolest day of the entire fair. It was 68 degrees.
Oh, nice.
But because the humidity was so high, it felt a lot worse. And so I was just like, off.
I just want to get out of this thing now.
Pretty much. Or at least down to the clothing, the regular clothing I had, the shell that I wore underneath it.
Mm.
Yeah. It was a great time.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Still glad that costume has held up. over so many wears and so many years.
Good.
Just goes to show you, cosplayers, that it is very worth your time to use nicer materials, nicer techniques, take your time, press everything, line everything, top stitch everything,
mm-hmm.
because that sucker will last you forever.
Finish those seams.
I am so happy. Yes.
Not with hot
so
glue,
happy with, that costume.
With thread and needle.
I mean, preferably with sewing machine, because hand sewing can come loose if your stitches aren't all consistent, especially if it's with a heavier fabric. But I mean, yes, the point stands that making sure that you complete the process is very worth it. So yeah, that's everything from me.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed yourself running around. So yes. My stuff, I was hoping to actually have this boy done, but life has been really weird and stuff lately. So it's not as done as I would like to be. However, I did get my snaps in, so at least it closes properly because I do love my snaps. I have the weird decorative buttons, not buttons things that I'm working on. Of course, they're being made out of craft foam because I'm me and it's faster that way. I did get the armbands completely done. This is one of them. Called up on all of my corset making skills to get this bad boy done. And so this is really interesting fabric because the other side, this is the back side of it. This is not the front facing side. The front facing side is actually suede. But this interesting backing for it is very leather looking. It's not leather, but it looks like it. So I was like, I like this side. I'm going to use this side.
Wait, so is it made out of foam or is it made out of the suede-like material?
It's suede.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just the backing
of
suede.
That's foam. That's really floppy for foam. Even 2 mil is not that floppy.
It's not that floppy, no. And there is interfacing in here. But I needed something that would be comfortable around my arm and all that funness. And I've also done a whole lot of red bias tape so I could actually close this sucker because for some reason in the game, the belt and the armbands, they're just like glued on or something. There is no visible seam of where they close. And I was like, I'm not doing that nonsense. So I was like, I'm going to make this logically. So I made
sure. The belt, I could see the belt being glued on because usually that's glued on over another piece of clothing like pants or on top of a tunic or something. If you're gluing an armband to a human arm, that's going to be painful. Incidentally, please never glue cosplay items to your body unless you are using specific, like body specific adhesives and that it is meant to be glued to your body. Please don't glue anything, even temporarily, as a sort of fix. Just please don't.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Just assume all glue is bad until it's not.
It's not bad. It's just not intended for the human body.
Unless it's like, hot glue. Hot glue is amazing.
In Maker Fishmeal's book, I don't think any of the items listed are human body parts.
No.
I don't think any of those adhesives are even concerning, like, doing that sort of thing. So just please don't.
But yes, there we go. Got these suckers done. They look way better now. And I'm like, oh, good, a proper closure on there. This is great. But I also made a butt ton of bias tape so I could do my closures. And they add as decoration to the weird button, not button things that go on the front of it. And it's fine. I hope I made enough because I really don't want to make any more. I have made so much stupid bias tape for this costume. And I have to make more for the next costume. So I think this is basically the year of bias tape for me. And I'm really tired of it. But this is what I chose. So I'm doing this to myself. It's fine.
Are you doing it by hand or by machine?
Not... Define by machine.
There are bias tape maker machines.
Okay, no, I do have...
That's the kind of machine.
I don't have a machine. I do have a bias tape maker. It's those... actually, hold for half a second.
It's the one that has a little bobbin on it and a little ironing platform for the potters who haven't ever seen these. They run like $69, $70. And... you feed the strips of fabric in through one end, mm-hmm. and it goes underneath the little ironing platform that they have. And then it goes through a little shaped hole or shaped tunnel where it will basically fold it in on itself, depending on the kind of bias tape you're making. And then it will wind it for you.
Yeah, no, this is what I have.
Okay, you have the manual one.
I have the manual one, which until very recently, I've been able to figure out how to make it work well for me, because this was a little tricky right. to kind of get used to. And it's also yep. fairly inexpensive. But once you get the hang of it, it's like, oh, this is a helpful little tool. So yeah, yes. this is what I used.
And if you get those, the kit, it's better to have multiple width options for yes. your bias tape.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you'll find very quickly that certain projects need certain widths of bias tape, and sometimes you can have it be too large.
Yes.
I've found that out the hard way, to my detriment.
I think we've all been there. So yeah, that's what I've been using, and it's been very helpful. And now I have just bias tape everywhere. Oh God, help me. Go over there, please. It makes it single, but it's really simple to just fold it over and there's your double. Because that's exactly what I did for all of this along the edging and then the weird stuff on the sleeve. It was a single fold, folded it over, it became a double.
Yep.
Really inexpensive too. I think when I got it, it was like $8.99. So mm-hmm. very, 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 very inexpensive, especially since it came with the owl. And there's also a sewing foot yep. that comes with it too. Doesn't work on my machine, but for most universal machines, probably if I had a Brother or a Singer, it mm-hmm. probably would have been fine.
Yeah. Tamlin, the set that I have of those makes double.
Nice.
So they have different ones.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's worth getting the whole set. Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all. And then the last thing is the rest of my fabric for Franziska finally arrived. It was delayed by like 3 weeks and I was very depressed. But I'm glad that it all came in one piece. Here is the fabric that I'm hoping this will show up in camera. And if it doesn't, I'm going to have to take a picture of this later and show it. It's suiting fabric. It is apparently a cotton poly blend. It don't feel like that, though. It's got this nice little shimmer to it.
It has a sateen kind of shine to it.
It does. And when you play with it, it feels like liquid leather. That is the only way that I can describe it. It is really nice. And I'm very much looking forward to working with this. It even has just a little bit of stretch to it too. So I'm like, oh, this will be perfect for the skirt. The vest, I might have to do a little bit of interfacing just to prevent it from slipping and sliding. But just like, it's just so nice. And for $5.99 a yard, how did I score this? It was worth the wait. It's great too. It hasn't really been wrinkling on me either. So I'm like, oh, this is nice.
That's one of the number one things I look for in garment fabric is anti-wrinkle.
As much as possible. After working with linen last year, I'm like, why did I have to be historically accurate? I don't want to do that ever again. Oh my God.
It's also partially just for maintenance, because after you've worn your cosplay, the same thing kind of happens to wigs, where if you wear a wig, no matter how much you treat it or brush it, it'll get tangled at the end of the day. Costumes will wrinkle after you've worn them, no matter how much you try and keep them all nice and pressed and you treat them and you have the anti-static sheets and such. No, you'll still end up having to iron them if it's a fabric that wrinkles badly.
Or steam them out, yeah.
Yeah, I found that out with poplin, which does not iron well.
Poplin is a hit or miss. I think it depends on the cotton quality in it. If it has a higher cotton quality, yeah. much easier.
That's fair. This was not a high cotton content. This was a high synthetic content.
Yeah, then you're going to run into the problems.
Yeah. It was also very thick, so it took a lot of heat.
A lot of heat.
To actually get through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I got for cosplay updates. I'm hoping by next time this bad boy will be done and I can finally start working on my dumb book, because mm-hmm. I really want to work on my dumb book. Add it to my collection.
All right, shall we move into today's topic?
Yes!
We've been talking about this one for a little bit now, but we wanted to give the audience a chance to participate yes. and give you all a chance to think about it first before we started actually talking about it on the show. And that is creating your ideal cosplay convention.
Yay.
Not that we can do this in real life at the moment.
No.
But at least we can think about it.
We can think about it. And I figured before we jumped in, I kind of wanted to set a couple of ground rules for us and for everybody else. So that way they don't have to think about, oh, we need to consider this and this and this and this and this. Like, let's have some set rules in place. So that way you can just focus on the content.
Exactly.
So my first thing I wrote down was that this is a 3-day event. This is a cosplay costuming focused event only. So this is not an anime con or a comic con with a cosplay track. This is a cosplay centric convention only. So that'll change your content around. And then administrative stuff like staffing, security, the con rules, what food options there are. Just assume they're all in place. Don't even think about those. Let's just focus on the events and the activities of the con. But I do want to leave room open for discussing like what would be in dealer's room and artist alley and even like badges and passes, because when I was thinking about, okay, how do I want to set up this, this, and this, that would affect how the badges work. So I thought, okay, let's keep that part open. But most of the administrative stuff, just assume that's handled. Don't worry about it.
And you can also fairly well assume that we will take care of multiple needs.
Yes.
So with things like food trucks for dietary issues, assume that's taken care of too.
You know, AA accessibility, handicap, whatever is taken care of, it's handled. Don't even think about it. Press handled.
Yeah, we would do our best to take care of folks. So
let's just assume in magical ideal land as we plan our perfect cosplay convention, this is already handled. Don't worry about it.
Yes. The one thing that I wanted to mention at the start, because this kind of falls half into something we would want to set ourselves and something that's administrative, which is the venue. And that's simply because you would assume that we would get a large enough venue. You would assume we would get an available venue that isn't already booked at the time and that it wasn't shared with anyone else.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're not sharing space with, say, another convention.
Right.
So that would be taken care of. But outside of that,
sky's the limit.
Yes. But I actually prefer a slightly smaller space.
I do too. I actually had in my brain, like, I'm going to focus on this, assuming that we're going to get no more than like 1,000 people. And that's like at maximum. Like I'm aiming for 500, but if we hit 1,000, we went gangbusters.
Oh, I would have gone all the way up to 5,000, but no more than that.
Oh, wow. Amber's thinking bigger.
You would be surprised how popular a cosplay convention might
be.
No,
I would not be surprised because
if it's well run.
Yeah. The things I was trying to look up for online was looking for other ones because really I could only find two of them. I'm sure there are more.
Correct.
But the ones that stood out to me were Costume Con, which typically takes place mostly in the northern part of the United States, but they do hop around, which is kind of what's nice about them. They typically do it in Colorado, but they've been in California, they've been here, they've been there, they've been in Canada, but they tend to be in the northern parts. It's a little difficult to get to. And the other one was Cosplay America. Quick clarification, it is not Cosplay in America. It is not part of the
different
photo
thing.
Book series. It is a completely separate entity. Cosplay America started in 2015, and it is primarily an East Coast-based cosplay convention. I believe they are in North Carolina. So I think those are really the only ones that I could find. There may be others that I don't know about. But the type of convention we're talking about, we're not talking about KatsuCon, where people show up for cosplay. Like, no, we want this to be only about cosplay.
Correct. And the reason that I prefer a smaller venue is, one, so that you make sure you use up all the space.
Yes.
That you're not renting more than you need.
Need, yeah.
Two, I don't like having to traverse multiple buildings for a con, so I don't want it to be so large that you have to worry about what building something is in.
Especially for a cosplay-centric convention where you pretty much are going to assume people are going to bring out the big guns.
Yes.
You lug around all that heavy stuff. You don't want to go to building to building. You kind of want to stick around
a place. As in costumes, not actual firearms. Just clarify.
When I say big arms, I mean the big ball gowns, yes. The big builds.
Yes. Large cosplay.
The large and in charge costumes.
Yes. And also, speaking of that, because if it's a smaller venue, it's a little easier to get around in. Mm-hmm. And when you're wearing one of those large costumes or one that's very involved or that sticks out a lot, say if you have wings or if you're in a mech, mm-hmm. or that sort of thing, that navigating things like stairs, escalators, elevators is very difficult at best. And so at least this way you won't have to worry about walking around so much or going up and down multiple floors, because there won't be that many. So hence a smaller sort of venue, and ideally for me, centrally located, so that West Coast, East Coast, North, South can all attend. So it doesn't have to be held in Dallas, but Dallas might be a good choice just because of the number of convention venues that are already there.
And we do have that international airport, which is pretty much a hub station for
True.
Most major cities in the country. So it kind of tends to be a good default location.
Mm-hmm. And at least since there's also a postal hub here, if you wanted to mail your costume to the hotel first, instead of having to travel with it, that would be an option for you.
I also like the idea of a smaller event venue is you have the ability of being able to run into people multiple times throughout the day. It's so much easier to communicate with others, to relax, to chill, to make a whole lot of new con friends. I have made so many con friends at small events than I ever had at like Dallas Comic Con, where it was impossible to find the same person twice.
Yes. And speaking of things to do at the con, the next thing that I would want, because this also concerns the venue, I would limit the hours of my convention.
Mm-hmm.
Would not be 24/7. I'm not going to, you know, ask staff to have to work overnights to watch over rooms or to have people present content at 3 a.m. I want cosplayers to be able to sleep. I want to give them dedicated time to actually get rest, to take off the cosplays, and not worry about missing something or missing people. So I would say probably the latest at night I would allow any content, it would have to end by 11 p.m. Nothing after 11 p.m. And it would start no earlier than 9 a.m. Because that way you have a dedicated 10 hours with which to shower, to eat actual food, and to sleep an actual amount of time to refresh you. This is not like 4 hours here, 4 hours there. This is you get a dedicated block to rest. Because I feel like at 24/7 conventions, that's not always as easy, especially if, even if you're staying at the hotel and let's say you turn in by like 10 o'clock. If you have people on either side of you who are staying in their rooms that are party animals and go out and come back at like 2 or 3 a.m, that still impacts you. So if I don't have any content after 11 p.m., there should be no reason to have like party animals making noise because there's no content. If you want to go outside of the hotel and do your thing, go ahead. But I just want people to have dedicated time to rest. That's all.
I think in general too, because in my brain, I kind of see it as more of like a mixture of gatherings, social events, but as well as like classrooms and demonstrations. Mm-hmm. And that's not mm-hmm. something that you can really do at 3 or 4 a.m. The idea of running a sewing machine at 4 a.m. when people are kind of sleeping really scares the crap out of me. So
not for the purposes of like last minute costume making or repair or anything. We're talking like workshops, panels, content.
Even for repairs, I'm like, it's 4 a.m. and your brain is not all here. Can you please go rest for a couple True. Hours so you don't hurt yourself? So
but we just don't have control. We don't have control over that is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
If people do it in the hotel room, eh. I can only do so much. I can give you the opportunity.
Sure. But yeah, I do like the idea of having a cutoff time, especially with the type of content that's being offered. I mean, we're not doing like anime rooms or karaoke rooms.
Correct.
There could be a ballroom dance party. Like that would be fun, like a masquerade.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I'd still want it to end by 11 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. I would still like to have a cutoff time and not something that runs mm-hmm. the whole night through.
Correct. I'm not going to mandate like start times. So if they want to start the ballroom dance at 8 p.m., if they want to start it at 10 p.m., as long as it ends by 11, go for it.
You must vacate the room at 11 o'clock on the dot. Bye.
Or at least everything has to be shut down and you have 15 minutes to clean and clear the room.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yep.
Everybody out of the room, like doors lock at 11:15. Because staff need a chance to sleep too.
Yeah, staff need a break and they have to reset the rooms for the next day and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. And something I would love to be able to do for staff, having known a lot of people that have worked staff at like anime cons and such, is to have a little hospitality room for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they can take a load off, grab you a little snack, maybe some crackers and peanut butter, some fresh fruit, maybe sandwich makings. Just very basic but healthy food that they can grab that they would not have to pay for. It comes with you working as staff. Because I think too often staff at conventions are basically kind of treated like volunteers. Yeah. And they're just ignored.
They're kind of ignored. Afterward,
it's like, you all right, you're on your own. Good luck. And it's like, you know, they're people too, mm-hmm. and they work really hard.
They work really hard. It may not seem like it sometimes, yeah. but it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would like to make sure that we take care of the staff.
Yeah. So definitely I would love to have it if it's a hospitality room, not just for staff, but for also attendees too. Because Tamlin mentioned a chill and hangout space. I would have them separate. Yeah. Yeah. A chill out and a hangout space, which I think that's great. Yes. We need a downtime space just for relaxing,
yes.
cooling off, getting a moment to ourselves, making sure there's plenty of tables and chairs available for that.
Yes. And fans for the cosplayers yes. so that if you want to come in and literally cool off, we will make sure that we take care of that for you.
Oh yeah.
And if I had my way, this one isn't a requirement. It's more of a nice to have. But a sensory room.
Yes.
For those who need quiet space to be able to reset and just de-stress mm-hmm. for a while at cons, because cons can be very stressful. I would like to have a sensory room.
Absolutely.
And it would be available for both staff and attendees at any time. And yes, speaking of that, Tamlin, all three rooms would be no photo zones.
Mm-hmm.
That way people don't have to worry about taking pictures while eating or while, you know, having to take off parts of their costume for mending or because they're overheating, whatever. Like, no worries on that part.
But talking about photos, I was thinking mm-hmm. it would be fun if there were two separate photo rooms that had a mm-hmm. bunch of different sets that people could utilize. Mm-hmm. One of them could mm-hmm. be the general photo room that you can come and go as you please. It could be yourself, mm-hmm. with a group, whatever. The other one mm-hmm. would be specifically set up for cosplay meetups.
Sure.
So that you have something official on the schedule. You can take that room, work with it for an mm-hmm. hour, play with all the sets, and then the next group comes on in. I think that would be a lot mm-hmm. of fun, especially as more cons briefly for a time we're utilizing more of those photo sets, and I'm hoping that they still mm-hmm. continue to use them. It'd be nice to have more of those pop up.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'm a little torn on the photo room going for an hour.
That's pretty normal for a cosplay meetup.
Sure. The reason is that having been through very stacked panel schedules, is the cons that do it more comfortably have 15 minute breaks between.
Sure.
So that there's reset time. And I would want to make sure that that's built in there. So maybe have 45 minutes for the group.
We're going
to
assume
minutes to
there's
reset.
A 10 to 15 minute in between of everything. So when I say an hour, that's including that little bip in between.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know it takes time to assemble groups and get everybody in the correct places and figuring out, okay, well, we want to do this unit. Okay, now we want to do this unit, mm-hmm. et cetera. I would be down for that.
I think that would be a lot of fun. And people really just flock to those photo sets and those having all the props and being able to do like sitting in a classroom and be like, oh my gosh, this actually looks like a real Japanese classroom. This looks great. Like actually having that would be really fun.
That said, I would put a limit on the general photo room. All backdrops and props would be provided by the con.
Mm-hmm.
You may not bring yours in. And
you can't take ours out.
That was assumed. No, I was going to say that all photo shoots must be PG-13 or less.
Ah, okay, yeah. Because that's in the con rules.
I would make sure that was in the con rules because people being people may try certain things and you would not want that associated with the con if it was their equipment especially.
Right.
So just make sure that it's, you know, family rated photo shoots. If you want to do something else, you go outside the hotel.
And then the other thing that came to mind is I think it would be really cool if each day of the con there was a cosplay marketplace where you can bring your either crafting materials, full costumes, wigs, or even, you know, your old sewing machine and mm-hmm. one giant marketplace where you can sell the stuff or you want to do a swap, you can do a swap. Whatever you mm-hmm. take in, you either have to get rid of it or it comes back home with you. So that way we're not left with any leftovers.
Correct.
But I think having those more often would be a great way to kind of reuse a lot of older materials. It would be great for recycling mm-hmm. initiatives and really bring mm-hmm. new life to old costumes.
Agreed. And speaking of reusing old components, if we had the space, I would want a repair room.
Oh, absolutely, 1,000%.
If not a separate repair room, maybe included as part of the hospitality suite, but I would definitely want to have a full supply of basic
repair supplies.
They would be free for use for cosplayers, but the price of that would be included in the price of the badge.
Yeah. Agree. Yes, it would be weird to have a cosplay con and not have some kind of repair station.
True. Yeah, we would have a stationary one. And then I know that occasionally when you go to cons that there's a repair person that walks around and you can always tell who they are. Those are okay too, but we would make sure to have a dedicated like static space that doesn't move.
Okay, so what about panel content? Because for sure, my brain is like, I'm treating this like Sew Expo, where it's like, we got workshops, we got classes, we got demonstrations.
Yes.
I know Tamla made a great comment about seeing something like a trade show, where there's like a whole area mm-hmm. of the hall where you can see equipment and brands to kind of show off different machines mm-hmm. and maybe show off different techniques that way too. That would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I think I would want the vendors in the dealer's den.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you wanted to do demos of, say, different brands of sewing machines or 3D printers or that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily want like a vendor only area. I would probably want them as vendors in with the dealer's den and other like official vendors like that. And demos can be done in the classrooms mm-hmm. if they want to like leave their table for an hour and come do an official demo. I'm fine with that. But I wanted to, for workshops, have both free and paid options.
Yeah, I actually had an idea for that for badges.
More advanced workshops where they provide the materials, or if they're doing a more advanced technique where you need to pay for somebody who has years of expertise,
mm-hmm.
I would be okay with that. But I wouldn't want to lock workshops to only paying customers. I would also want to have almost more like demos or very basic workshops, kind of like you go into the craft room, you can make a minor craft and then you get to go home with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to have both because that way everyone can participate. The paid workshops would have a separate fee.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be included with the badge. The free ones would, but there would be a separate nominal fee for the paid workshops, and that would all be disclosed in advance.
Yeah. My thought behind that was, I thought it would be kind of cool is if you buy your badge, you get X number of classes that you can register for free.
Okay.
And then any additional classes, there's a flat rate you pay and it's just the same across mm-hmm. the board, just so that way we can make it very happy and friendly for everybody because we know money is a thing, but it doesn't include the cost of material. So like, let's say you chose a leatherworking course that was advanced and part of it required you to spend an extra $20 on material so you could actually take home a leather bracer you made. You have to pay that extra amount. But I was like, you know, if I'm buying a badge to this event, knowing that I'm going specifically for classes and workshops, it'd be cool if my badge let me get into like 3 or 4 classes for free.
Sure. I would also say for that attendees have to choose their classes in advance when they buy their badge.
Absolutely.
By a certain date, like a month before the con, because that gives whoever is running the workshop enough time to prepare their kits that they have to give to all the attendees. And I would be very sorry about it, but we would not allow at the door signups for the workshops unless the vendor was accepting of them. So if they said, yeah, you know, I'll have a dozen extra kits on hand because we didn't fill up to capacity, and I'll have some extra just in case there's any last minute registrations. Mm-hmm. As long as the vendor's cool with that, I would be cool with that. But otherwise, I would say, I'm sorry, we can't, because it's not fair to the vendor to spring another person on them and go, surprise!
Guess what? You have an extra attendee. Have fun. But I also kind of like that thought process too, with keeping it simple for the badge. So that way you didn't have like 50 different badges that you could buy. It's just, okay, it's one badge. You get this many classes for free. And then if you want additional classes, it's these nominal fees. And then we could even have a badge that was just no classes. It was just, I want to get into the expo hall and nothing else. I'm like, okay, cool. You can have just one of those badges. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple.
And I would say that the badges would allow you entrance to Dealer's Den and Artist Alley for free.
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to charge people for that, only for certain workshops.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would make a lot of sense.
And then, since we're talking about Dealer's Den and Artist Alley,
yes,
maybe we should talk about who should be there.
Yeah.
Or what sort of products we would want to see there.
Because that one, to me, is kind of interesting. In trying to look up what Costume Con and Cosplay America did, I was having difficulty finding out what was going on in the expo hall. It seems like Costume Con, because it is a lot more established, I believe the next one is the 44th or the 45th one. It's been around a while.
A long while.
I believe most of their expo hall is full of demos from like sewing dealers and big vendor names. So you're going to see a Singer, you're going to see, you know, a Viking, you're going to see a bunch of those big names there. I don't know what they do with Cosplay America. I'm like, what would you sell at a cosplay centric convention that would garner people's attention? And obviously, the first thing that came to mind was all of our wig vendors. You know, you got Epic, you got Arda, you got all those places. But what also stuck out to me recently in a post that Arda made on their Instagram is that they're doing more character cosplay focused wigs because those are selling more. So I was like, wait, there might actually be legit cosplay vendors like with full on costumes ready to buy there. And people would probably be cool with it.
Yes.
Because you don't really see that very often. You tend to get a little bit of side eyes, like, But as cosplay has become much more affordable in that method, it'd be easier to kind of buy your full costume there, and then you're set for the weekend.
True. And I think if we could manage it, which this is another want and not a requirement, if the vendor was willing, allow people to order on their website and pick it up at the con so that they can wear it at the con.
Yeah, that would be great.
And that would be totally up to the vendor. Like, the con wouldn't have anything to do with that specifically. But I would also want people to be able to offer custom commissions.
Okay.
You know, have their business cards and say, here are some examples of previous commissions I've done. Here's my pricing per hour. And that way, if they want to have fully finished costumes that they've made that maybe somebody had commissioned and never paid for, if they want to sell that, great. But this way they can also make arrangements for after the con if they happen to see something they like at the con. Or maybe they attend a workshop and go, that is really awesome. Now I want to commission someone to do like the whole thing for me. I would like to be able to offer that chance to skilled artisans to offer that. But I think I would put that in the artist alley for the artisans rather than the dealer's den.
Makes sense.
Oh, I would also go ahead.
I was going to say a requirement. We have to have a soap vendor. If nothing else, everything will smell great.
That is true. And that kind of also brings up the other thing that I wanted to mention about dealers vendors is I would really love to have vendors that sell cosplay care products.
Okay.
Like wig sprays and the special combs that you can use, or stain remover spray, because heaven knows I've needed that at a convention more than once. Or little repair kits, or garment bags so that you can protect your cosplay. Just things that aren't necessarily what you use to make the cosplay, but you can use to take care of it afterward. And a lot of those things you'd probably end up using at the convention anyway. So I would like to also have a vendor or two that sold those things.
And then when it comes to
What
Artist
else will?
Alley, like I'm like, as somebody who's done enough cons, I still like just browsing for keychains and stickers and silly fun things like that. They don't have to be cosplay centric. They can be anime, whatever insert fandom here is. That's totally fine. I think that would be fun to mix in the cosplay guests there. Because I don't, it feels weird to me to stick them in the expo hall. I think that they would be better ingrained into the Artist Alley given their craft. I think that would be a good place to stick them. If
Yeah,
they
I
wanted
would
a
agree with that.
table.
That's also true. I would also put any on-site commissions, like people who do 3D printers, I'd also want those in the Artist Alley.
Okay, that makes sense.
Those you can order on site and then before you leave, pick it
Can you pick
up
it
on your
up?
way out because that way they'll have all their machines going during the day making your thing. And the same would go for embroidery. If anybody ordered like custom patches or custom embroidery, they'd have it done by end of day and then you come pick it up and take it with you.
Makes sense.
If it was something small enough to be done in a day, granted.
You're right.
Yeah, if it's a large order, sorry, you'll have to make
It
arrangements.
might have to get shipped to you. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Well, do we want to talk about cosplay contests?
Yes.
Because I was thinking, how cool would it be if there was one every single day? And one each day for each category. So one day for beginner, one day for intermediate, one day for masters or advanced. Or if
Oh,
you want to split it up, like one day for sewing and needlework, one day for props and armor, so on.
okay. So it's not one for each day. I was like,
No.
logistically, that would
Yeah,
be
a nightmare.
very packed.
But my thought process behind this is it gives people more opportunity to get involved. It kind of spreads out the prizes as well. So I always feel bad that beginners don't really get a nice prize as nice as the masters. And the beginners probably work just as hard as the masters.
Oh,
So
definitely.
it's just like, I want those beginners and intermediates to get just as much recognition as the masters. So that's why I think it'd be really cool if there was a beginner's only, an intermediate only, and a master's only, and you just had one each day. So that way, because if you cram all those into one day, Lord help me.
Oh, yes.
I'm exhausted thinking about that.
And we would take care of the administrative tasks like prejudging,
Yeah, yeah,
craftsmanship
yeah,
judging.
yeah.
We would make sure that's all taken care of. And most importantly, we would make sure the prizes are useful to cosplay.
Players, yes. You don't need a random anime beach towel. But I thought
I
that would be
would
kind of cool.
also, in addition to that, because I agree with that and I'd want to do beginner, intermediate, advanced, but also I would want to do a catwalk each day,
Yes,
just
yes.
non-contest.
Not
Same
contest.
kind of thing, still walking the stage, but not the pressure of being judged, no craftsmanship, no prejudging. It's just to show off your costume or get practice with going across the stage for future contests if you want to participate. I just want a low pressure option.
I do love that Dallas Comic Con has their red carpet walkway. So like for an hour,
Yes, like that.
everybody gets a chance to walk across the red carpet. People take their photos, they get to pose, and then they walk off. It's like 10 seconds, 30 seconds per person, and I love that. Doesn't matter what you're wearing.
That way, photographers have a chance to get good photos of the cosplayers, and you're not struggling to take pictures in dealer's den with all the people flooding around you and such. This is like a dedicated space that where you don't have to like book an hour in the photo room. If you just want like a couple quick pictures, this is a great way to do it.
Yeah. But I like it also being like, if we kept it on a stage, so you got the catwalk experience. So that's sometimes the most intimidating part is actually going up onto the stage. And if you've never done that before, it's like, ah, but if you have a low pressure situation, then it can be a lot easier to transition into it.
Definitely. And speaking of contests, I would want to make sure that we offered a panel every single year on how to do a cosplay contest as a contestant.
How to do a contest, how to be judged, how to put together a portfolio, how to do the runway walk. I may have done all four of those separately. Hi! Yeah. It's my favorite topic to talk about.
I would want to make sure that was offered so that people who are prepping and may not know if they want to do the contest yet, like in the future, if they want to compete or if they just want to do the catwalk thing, this way it gives them a much better idea of what's involved.
Absolutely.
Instead of having to learn the hard way and just get up on stage and go.
Yeet.
Pretty much.
Good luck.
Yes.
No, that would be awesome to make sure that to offer those types of content. And they would just be part of the standard panels that everybody would have access to.
Yes. Yeah, I would not charge any money for that.
Oh, no. No. I figure with the workshops classes, there would also be standard panels too. Like Cosplay 101, how to work with LEDs, the basics of armor making, like a lot of those standard classes, they're just, everybody has access to. There's no money barrier.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's part of what comes with the badge.
I would also want to make sure if it were available to us that we had, enough volunteers, that we offer a wide variety of panels. So it's not just the 101 classes. It's not just sewing. We have all of the other disciplines that are related to costuming in a very wide variety so that people have a chance to pick and choose.
And
ideally,
yeah,
they'd be offered multiple times. So maybe twice during the convention. So that if you couldn't make one because there was a conflict,
there's another
either
one.
We record it and replay it, or they can offer it again live if they want to. Totally up to them.
I do want to tack on to that too. I think it's important that we be very inclusive so that it also means closet cosplay, thrift store cosplay, cosplay on the cheap. We have recycled cosplays. That's all about just 100% reusing previous costume parts. Like I want to make sure that whatever is offered, that we offer it for everything and every type of cosplay. It shouldn't just be strictly limited to you have to sew everything from scratch, including your fabric. Go.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely down for including like literally the entire spectrum of cosplay and costuming.
As it should be, because there is so much out there.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take any particular skill level. Like advanced people can still closet cosplay.
Oh, yeah.
Beginners can still sew from scratch. Like your skill level does not matter for any of these things. They are all relevant and they're all available.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely would want to do that. Yes. And I would make sure that we had the schedule out well enough in advance.
Yes, please.
So that folks can plan their panels. And if they have conflict with, there are these three panels all at the same time that I want to attend, that you have other chances. And I would also administrative hand wave, make sure that if two panels are together once in the schedule, they're not together again in a later part of the schedule.
Yes.
They'll be offset the second time so that you won't ever have to pick and choose that way.
Mm-hmm.
Administrative hand wave. We will take care of that.
For other panels, I would love to see cosplay chess.
Yes.
It's been eons since I've last seen one. I would love to see one again. They were always a blast.
Yes.
And the other one was a cosplay dating game. They've always had like the anime dating game, but you can do like a cosplay version of that because they're different characters and whatnot. Uh-huh. But you can always there's ways of keeping it PG. I promise. Sure. I've sat in a lot of PG ones and they are very, very fun.
The other thing I would want to make sure that we include are academic panels.
Yes.
So if you want to talk about historical cosplay, if you want to talk about like the process of cosplay conventions becoming more and more modern, like the history of cosplay conventions, if you want to talk about certain eras, or if you want to talk about history in the context of the cosplay for a particular anime and how that was relevant. Like those sorts of panels, talking about textiles, talking about the Industrial Revolution, all of that would be welcome because I don't think they get enough of a seat at the table. And those panels can be really interesting.
I've done enough of those type of panels that you get quite a big crowd that shows up to them.
Yeah.
People are genuinely interested.
Yeah. There's a lot of interest. And I think staff may be surprised when they see the audience size.
Yeah.
We would also make sure that there were sufficiently large rooms for each of these.
Right.
So if you anticipate, in fact, if I had my way, and it would be anonymous, you wouldn't have to register like an email address or anything. Like no information has to be given. But if we had an app for the convention, you could just check boxes for which panels you were interested in. Not that you were committing to going.
Just interested.
Your badge wouldn't be linked to it at all. It would just be, I'm interested, so that we can get a head count and know how many people to plan for that room. So that even if they don't all show up, even if more show up, you still have a starting point. Mm-hmm. So you can say, oh, 200 people are interested in this room. We're probably going to need a room for like 250 people.
Right.
Just in case. And that way you don't put the person accidentally in a 100-person room and then there's overflow and then bad things happen because fire marshal will come and have a chat with you.
Yeah. At one point people are going to be like, you can't come in.
Correct. And then you have to wait outside until someone else comes out so you can go get a seat. No.
That's not fun.
We would do our best to anonymously get headcounts for these so that we can plan properly. The workshops, you'd have to register.
Yeah.
But that's only because you'd also have to provide payment for the ones that require payment.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love for us to have an app that had all of the things like, here's food in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the panel schedule. Here's all the guests and where they're going to be and when for autographs. Here's a list of all the workshops and the ones you have to pay for. And here's the cosplay content. Like all the information you would need would be in the app. But we would also offer a paper version.
God, yes,
for
please.
Those that don't have phones.
Or when you know that the Wi-Fi is going to be so overflooded that people can't access anything.
Also true.
Paper schedules save lives, guys. I'm telling you.
You can always have one of those erasable boards.
Yeah.
In a very obvious place, like say the hospitality suite for all the attendees. You can have an erase board and have the schedule up there. And that way, if you need to make changes, you make them right there. You can also put a little erase, like a mini erase board in front of each panel room.
Right.
That has its own schedule. And that way, if something needs to change, you don't have to walk all the way to the hospitality suite to see the change. You'll also see it in front of the panel room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they have the little fancy LED boards in front of the panel room, you could just use those instead of a dry erase board. But same concept.
Yeah, same concept. And those are always kind of... depends on the hotel and the convention center. And because usually what they'll do is they'll just put the room number in there and then like a rough draft, but then you can't change it once it's up there. And you're like, okay, well.
Sure.
Any other types of entertainment other than having costume contests or a masquerade? I was thinking about, I know people typically go to these things for a musical act. But I don't know if that's really necessary with all the content going on. The only other thing that came to my mind would be fun to have a fashion show, whether it be Lolita or general fashion.
Yes. I would actually put that in place of the concert.
I would agree.
Because they have music going on in the background while people are doing their thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be perfectly fine with that. You could even put the masquerade up there instead.
Replay it for but those who didn't get a chance to see it the day before.
But I can't think of any other major entertainment I would want for cosplays. The other thing, because I remember, was it AllCon that had this one year? It may have been one of the anime cons that had this one year. They had a cosplay museum.
Oh, yes.
They had people bring in dress forms with costumes they submitted to be in the cosplay museum. And you could actually, you had to have a badge, but you could walk through it like a display and see all the different costumes. And I thought that was so cool.
You've been there. Sanjapan. That's what I was thinking of. Sanjapan. Sanjapan usually does it.
Okay. I was thinking it might have been one of the anime cons if it wasn't all con.
It was taking me a moment. It's like, I know exactly which convention center they're at. I know which city they're in. Why can I not remember the name?
I just remembered what the room looked like when I walked through it.
But yeah, that
and
would
you could
be
take
cool.
pictures if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You just had to be... you had to stay a certain distance away from the costumes because they weren't behind panels or anything. They were just out there in the open and they didn't want anyone to accidentally damage them or spill something on them. So you had to stay a certain distance away and they had it taped on the floor. But you could take pictures from there.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else. I don't have anything else listed on my list. Haha.
I think for guests, I would also want to open it up to, I don't know what their official title is. You're the person who would know this, but the wardrobe people in movies, costume designers.
Costume designers, yeah.
Yeah, I would want to not limit it to cosplay, but for those to actually professionally do it for a living for like movies and TV shows and such. I would want to make sure that they also had an invite if they wanted to come and guest.
Yeah. I've met a couple at Dragon Con while I was getting judged for my costume. And while slightly intimidating at times, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're a professional. They were very nice. And all of them gave me a lot of the same comments that any other cosplay judge would have. So I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Plus that way, you know, if they wanted to bring any costumes from something they'd worked on, and do a demo on it or a workshop, or if they wanted to have the cosplay museum kind of thing going, it would give people a chance to see things that are used in the media that they see that maybe people don't get to see very often. Cause I know occasionally they do costume shows.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always travel.
Right.
So sometimes it's like, well, we're going to show it these 2 days in Los Angeles and that's
right. You can only see in Los Angeles or New York. Have fun.
And it's only on like 2 or 3 days and then it's done. And it's like, well, I can't suddenly fly to these places to go see them. And then you end up asking someone like, hey, while you're over there, can you take pictures and post them on the internet so the rest of us can live vicariously through you? This way it gives them a chance to have that mini traveling show. Even if it's not all of the costumes, that's okay. 2 or 3, perfectly fine. It gives more people a chance to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You can put them behind plexiglass. I'm perfectly fine with that. We'd make arrangements.
Yeah. It was a couple of years ago, and I want to say this was San Diego Comic Con, but they live streamed this with Colleen Atwood, who is a very prolific costume designer.
Yes.
It was a fantastic panel. I loved every second of that. Loved
I watched
it.
The live stream. Yep.
She does such beautiful work. Oh my God. Go look her up.
Yes.
You're just going to be like, oh, I know this. I know this. I know this. You'll be very surprised at how much she's worked in.
Yes. And I want to make sure that not only attendees have the chance to have that experience, but that the designers and the costumers also get a chance to come out and talk about their work to a new audience may not normally be an audience for them.
An audience that may be like, oh, that could be my career.
Also very true. Definitely. Or maybe I want to look into going to school for that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's going to be a career yet, but I want to try.
I want to try, yeah. Could open up new possibilities.
Yeah. But that's everything I can think of for our ideal cosplay convention outside of administrative hand waving.
You can't see the administrative stuff here. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We got it. Yeah,
yes.
That's pretty much what I had too. And I like a lot of your ideas. I think in this magical realm of this non-existent costume convention, I think it would be very banger. I would go.
I would totally go. And again, administrative hand waving, the tickets would be affordable. The badges would be affordable. We would see to it.
We would make absolutely sure of that.
And there would also be day options. If
yeah.
you just wanted to go one day. And then there would be weekend options if you just want to go the whole weekend.
Yeah.
We'd take care of it. But yeah, if you all have any additions you would like to make to our magical ideal cosplay convention in the sky, feel free to let us know via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
Everything is located underneath Amber for those of us who are watching on the video. For those who are listening, hi! You can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod.
Or, of course, if you want to do it the traditional way, you can always email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you'll get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes.
Guaranteed. When I remember. When I'm not answering my emails during my lunch break.
We did make up for it.
We did. I didn't get a response. I may have sent too many memes, and I may have scared them, and I apologize. I had to make it up, though.
But otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Keep working on all those cosplays so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention, maybe an ideal cosplay convention, local to us ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you all in episode 294. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye.